If you're wondering how to build an engaged following on social media nowadays, despite all the generic content that there is out there on how to gain Instagram followers and how to grow on YouTube and so on and so forth, then this is the podcast episode for you. Because my guest today has gone from nothing to a really successful business and the craziest engagement on social media that I have ever seen for its size in, well, pretty much 2 years. And with that said, although she doesn't have millions and millions of followers, I think people who do have millions of followers have a lesson to learn from her. So her name is Emily Keith, and she's often known as a Healthy Emmy on social media. She is an ex-client of mine who was a teacher who then became so successful that she quit her job and now is even coaching our clients here at Impact School because she's so good at what she does. And with that said, I needed her to come on today because we have had people asking, how do you build an engaged community even if you don't have hundreds of thousands of followers? And Emily is the girl who can share that with you. She's been able to scale the engagement and the quality of audience that you can have when you just have a couple hundred followers all the way up until the multiple thousands. And what she's doing is amazing and it's converting into a really successful online business. And so with that said, I just want to remind you that some of the stuff in here that we talk about is for people who already have an existing business, but there is a lot which is going to be good for people who are pretty new. But if you don't already have the foundational layers nailed, I want to invite you to join Impact School's MBA, and I'm even going to be giving it to you for free. So just go to impactschoolmba.com, put your name on the list, it will then redirect you into Facebook Messenger where I'll send you the link. And that is going to be something that we're talking about here today. So with that said, you can find me on social media at Lauren Tickner, LaurenTickner. You can find Emily at Healthy Emmy, Healthy and then Emmy all in one word. We're both on Instagram for those usernames, and then I'm on LinkedIn with the name Lauren Tickner. Share this episode with somebody if it's useful, and let's get straight into it. So Emily, what are your current social media stats?
My current social media stats, I am nearly at 5 million YouTube views, and I have about 40,000 subscribers on YouTube, about 12,000 followers on Instagram, and my email list is around 10,000. And I have a private Facebook group called The Healthy Honeys, which we'll talk about, which has about 2,000 members.
Your community is one of the most engaged that I've ever seen. In fact, outside of the fitness industry, I would say that it's probably the most engaged. And when I say fitness industry, yes, you're in the health space, but your people love you. They are obsessed with you. And so I really want to dive deep in that because back in the day when I was in the fitness industry, right, I found it quite easy to build my community. I feel like I had a taste of that for a couple of years. And then I pivoted to what I do now, right? But you've kept your community and you've built it and they've been so engaged with you for so long. And I think what separates you from everyone else is the personal relationship that your people feel like they have with you, right? And so I just want to dive into how you've actually made this happen because it's really aspirational. Because one thing that I'll say is that people buy from you because they want to get the outcome that you sell, right? But the thing that makes them stay is the community. And that's what you've harnessed and that's what you've built up massively. So let's talk about that. What would you say is the biggest thing that has allowed you to scale your community like this?
Easily, it was making the Facebook group The Healthy Honeys. I started the Healthy Honeys hashtag, and I remember I was bopping around Australia and I was like, I'm going to start a Facebook group and I'm not going to charge people for it. It's not even going to be that. I didn't even have a business at this point. I was still a teacher at that point.
Real quick, if anyone hasn't already listened to the first episode where Emily came on the show, then make sure to go ahead, listen to that, and you can hear her story as how she went from a teacher in Australia to now having this awesome online business and she's changing so many lives. So yeah, you were back in Australia, bopping about, and then you had this idea. What happened next?
Yeah, so I really wanted to create a community because I was obsessed with my YouTube videos and I noticed that the same people were commenting on them over and over, and I would sort of expect those names to come up, and I was talking with these people and I really wanted to get to know them. And I thought, if these people are commenting on my YouTube videos every day, how many, as we call them, silent lurkers are there? I'm so guilty of being a silent lurker. I talk about these YouTubers and these social media people like they're my best friends, and they have no idea who I am. So I was thinking, you know, is this happening with me? Are there people that think this about me too? And if there are, I'm going to pull them out and make them into a community. So I was bopping around Australia and I was like, what should I name it? And I always say, like, honey is one of my sayings, spelled H-U-N-N-I or H, as you guys say. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do the healthy honeys. And so I created a Facebook page and I made a YouTube video and I said, I'm making this Facebook group. And I spoke to exactly who I wanted to be in that group as if they were one person. Because as they say, if you speak to everybody, you speak to nobody. So I pictured the ideal healthy honey, spoke directly to her, and the Facebook group just started to flourish. And that became a hub of like-minded people that has thrived, you know, 2 years later.
And so what about all those people, Emily, who could have been a good healthy honey, but they didn't look at that ideal fit, right? What about all those people that you could have let in, right? Because this is something that I hear a lot. People will say, yeah, but I could also help this person, or yeah, I can also help them and this person too. What about those people who you could help, but you're not focusing on?
I truly believe that there is a place for everybody. And there's a right person to help everybody. And if you're not the right person to help somebody, then you're doing that person a disservice. And if you want to help somebody because you can help them, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should. And they are probably better off getting help from somebody who is truly, truly the right person for them. And you're more so acting in your own interest instead of their interest if you try to change what you do to fit to them.
Mm, yeah, totally. I remember when I was a fitness coach, I was helping women, specifically young women, get strong physically and mentally. And then I had someone come to me who wanted to do a marathon, right? And because it was related to fitness, I was like, yeah, I'm the fitness girl.
Male, wasn't it?
Yes, it was a guy. Yep, his name was Steve. And anyways, so basically what ends up happening is I'm like training this guy for a marathon and I hate running. And I spent all my time, my spare time studying about running and marathons and running shoes, when all I needed to know was what was a better squat shoe. You know, I did not need to know about this because the majority of my clients didn't need to know that. And I didn't care about it. And ultimately I had to refund this guy. Okay. Because I decided to deviate just because I was in sales, they call it commission breath, right? But I was like chasing that dollar, whereas I should have been looking at the bigger picture. And so it's really clear that you've been able to do this with your people, right? You speak directly to them and you use the language that they use. So your posts have so many emojis, so many like exclamation marks, like, hey, honey, da, da, da. It's like speaking their lingo. And so they feel at home, right? And so with that said, I really want to touch more on this Facebook group thing, because I noticed in the past, it's happened to me multiple times. I've started a Facebook group and then I do like a program in there, a free program, and then it kind of dwindles after that. But you've kept that momentum up in there. So how have you been able to do that?
I schedule a post for every single day and every day has a theme. So on Sundays, it's a honey spotlight for one of my clients in the Slim on Starch program, and we show them off. Mondays are Meme Monday, so people start to expect what's going to come that day. So on Mondays, we post a meme about being a part of this plant-based lifestyle. Tuesday, tip. Wednesdays, I post my YouTube video from the day. Thursdays are usually an article, something science-based. So just like, you know, a comparison that I always love to make with people with building the know, like, and trust factor with your audience is to think about when Oprah was on, she was on at 4 p.m. every day. and people would race home so that they could get home in time for Oprah at 4 p.m. because they expected that she would be there, and she showed up every single day, year after year after year. And people start to expect that. Just like my YouTube videos go up every Wednesday and Saturday, hell or high water, they go up. And a post goes up every single day in the Healthy Honeys and has for 2 years. And I comment on every single post in that group. And it seems like a lot of work, but it's back end work. You know, they say when the guy hits the, like the sculptor hits the rock 99 times, and then on the 100th time, that's when it cracks. It wasn't the 100th hit that made it happen. It was the 99 before that. So when you get that know, like, and trust factor with your audience through things like a Facebook group, and people see that you're interacting with every single person, you build that know, like, and trust factor so that by the time they apply to your program, get on the phone with you, whatever process it is to get people to be your client, they're ready, and you don't have to do all that work on every single call.
Totally, yeah. It's relationship marketing, right? Permission-based relationship marketing. It's just like the money-making messaging method, but it's doing it inside of a group dynamic. So I love that, because you're sort of like, you know, sat in the room with them on the ground, actually getting to know them. And then, yeah, by the time they apply, they're pretty much pre-sold, and it's just a case of you processing that credit card to join your program. So just real quick, can you share with people what your program actually is? Sort of like the just the price point and the number of weeks, like sort of overview of it really, just so that they have an understanding of what you're selling.
Sure. So I have an 8-week program that allows people to lose weight on a plant-based diet. And it's myself. There's also a registered dietitian and a therapist, and we all work with the client. And it is a very involved program. It's very high touch. We're interacting with the clients every day. I say every day except for Sunday, because Sundays are one day of rest, but we really are in there every single day with the clients to give them that really high touch transformation. And because of that, it is an investment. It is a serious investment that people make. And it's definitely a high ticket item, but what people pay for, they pay attention to. And because it is high ticket and it really is a big investment, people don't F it up, if you will. And that's how they get incredible transformations.
Totally. Yeah, that's awesome. And I love how every Sunday you do a client spotlight in your Facebook group. So they also have a private Facebook group as well, right?
Yes. So there's a private Facebook group for my program, and then the Healthy Honeys is all the honeys.
Awesome. All the honeys. I love it. Okay. And so let's talk about this a bit more, because you have the type of audience who they will literally go and comment on your YouTube videos, comment on your IG posts, and then there's probably nothing in it for them. So what do you feel is making them keep coming back? Do you think it's because you're replying to every single comment? What do you think it is?
I answer every single DM, reply to every single comment, every email, however you reach out to me, every Facebook message, you get a response. And I think so often we forget that these are real people with real lives. When you do have a following, it just seems like numbers. But think about the people that you follow and all of the people that you love to watch. If you reach out to them and they get a response from you, that is, you know, it's the coolest thing ever. And to build that relationship with people and to show them that you too are a real human and you realize that they're a real human, that's amazing. And also, you can learn so much from interacting with your audience. Mm-hmm. From that, from the Healthy Honeys, I get so much content from that and so many ideas, because people are literally posting their pain points, and a pain point is a piece of content.
Yeah, absolutely. I recorded a podcast episode about this the other day, which was about just an update of how everything's going at Impact School, like our changes to our business and so on and so forth. And I was saying how the marketing team, right, what they use is feeded directly from the client fulfillment side, right? So the whole business is fluid and everything interacts and mingles. So often times what will happen is you'll get on a sales call and expect it to be a sale, but maybe you don't make a sale, right? Because you weren't necessarily already overcoming the objections or the needs of your ideal client. So on the phone, it wasn't actually a good fit, because your program or your offer it wasn't actually what people needed. So you're getting direct feedback on the sales side, which you can then deliver into your client fulfillment side to improve your program. And it's basically then becomes customer feedback and customer research. So that's clearly how you've been able to firstly take what the community wants and turn it into something that you can sell. And I think, well, I want to hear your thoughts on this, because I remember when we first started working together, like, what, how long ago was that now? That was so long ago.
It was 2018.
Oh, man.
That's wild.
That is crazy. So I remember you had never done high ticket or anything like that.
Okay? I haven't done anything. As a teacher, I asked you, Lauren, what a funnel was. I asked you what a funnel was. I knew automation. I did not know what that word meant. Nothing meant anything to me.
But everyone starts somewhere, right? And I think that's the cool thing. There was a time when I didn't know what a funnel was. So I went to Google and I was researching like crazy. And I was one of those people who took things to the extreme where I overcomplicated everything and tried to do all the real complex stuff. But anyways, that's what I'm saying. Because I know when you started, you wanted to do like $100 a month or something. And you were telling me how you wanted to, no, you wanted to do, okay, so when Emily came to me, she was selling one-off calls. You were literally doing a call with someone and selling it for like $20. Do you remember that?
That is not what I was doing. Here's what
I was
doing.
It was something like that.
I wanted to do a continuation program for my clients, and I was like, let's just do it like wicked cheap. Like, let's do like $59 a month for a continuing client. And I did the math and I was like, I only need X people to make six figures a year. And you're like, no. Literally all you said was no. No explanation. I was like, oh.
Okay, so then tell them what happened.
So then I just went in on high ticket and realized, I'm a math teacher, I should have realized this, that you only need, you know, a handful, you can count on one hand the amount of clients that you need to acquire within 1 month to make six figures a year. And that's when the light bulb went off.
Mm-hmm. Now, just one thing though, because you obviously have an amazing community, right? But I remember there was a period of time where we were fixated, well, we as in you, were fixated on the membership site. Can you remember that?
Okay. I wanted to do a live Q&A every week. And I was like, I love this idea. Please let me do it. As if you were my mom. I was like, please let me do it. I want to do this live Q&A every week. And you're like, okay, it has to be a membership site. And the membership site was the biggest flop of all. It was like when Paris Hilton made a song and everyone's like, what are you doing? That was like when I made my membership site. I sold it. Lauren, do you remember Oh, I cannot believe
like,
I did that.
It was like $7.
No, it was $5. I sold it for $5 a month.
And Emily had
to focus on volume. Wow.
And even back then, Emily had an amazing community, right? But I remember saying, look, again, when people pay, they pay attention. And $5 a month, like, I mean, I'm not gonna lie. If I'm spending $5 a month on something, you best believe I am not using that. And it's crazy because even though your community was so obsessed with you, even at $5 a month, they still didn't want to take that. And it wasn't going to ever be something that was going to make a ton of money, because it's just these low ticket things. I think people oftentimes think that, well, if I just sell it for cheaper, then more people are going to buy. But here's the thing, the reason why people run low ticket, and you may see people with a big following doing it, or you may see people with a big business doing it, is because they sell these low ticket things so that they can recoup their ad spend. So these big businesses are spending money on ads to get people into their funnel. And then on the back end, they don't want to be spending a ton of money on ads. So they want to go from being below zero, which is where they are through spending money on ads. So if they spend 100, they want to get that 100 back through selling low ticket things just to recoup their ad spend, and so that they actually are making a bit of money from the leads that they have, because some leads may not be ready for high ticket at that point. And so what happens oftentimes is people who have an amazing community or who are just getting started, they want to go ahead and sell low ticket things because they see other people doing it. Whereas high ticket is going to be the thing that actually brings in the money. And so Emily's obviously doing that now, doing an awesome job with it. But let's just talk about this a little bit more, right, with your actual social media. So do you feel that your social media is the thing which converts your people into clients?
A million times over. By the time that I get on the phone with somebody, because I have like 400 YouTube videos, I've been posting YouTube videos twice a week since 2015. So I have a ton of videos on there, and I've shown my parents, I've shown my brother when I graduated from college, when I moved to Australia, when, you know, and I just thought of something when you were talking about, you know, those $5 a month things are just to cover the operation costs of the business. How, when I was selling something for $5 a month, that was when I was working with you. I was teaching in Australia. I was investing more into my business than I was making per month as a teacher in Australia. I was making nothing, and I was trying to make money by selling something for $5 a month. And it's not even, I'm really truly not money driven at all. You know, I was a teacher. I am wearing like my boyfriend's sweatshirt. I have the same, I'm the least spender on planet Earth. All of my money just sits in investments and sits in the bank, and I don't even touch it. I'm not money driven at all. But I was trying to make a living off of $5 a month, and I wasn't even breaking even, wasn't even making ends meet. So there's that little thing right there. But by the time I get on the phone with somebody who has applied to the program, they basically know my entire life story. And who are the people that know your entire life story? Think about the person listening to this podcast. If you ask somebody, if you had to give somebody a piece of paper and say, write down my life story, how many people would be able to do it? And who would you give it to? You could probably think my parents, my siblings, my best friends. For me, it's 5 million people who have watched all of my YouTube videos. And by the time I get on the phone with somebody, they know me, they trust me. And when I'm on the phone with them, they're like, you are the exact same as you are in your videos. And it's because I've had a camera in my face this whole time and I can't fake it. You've seen my whole life. And by being vulnerable and putting yourself out there, it can feel uncomfortable. And it was scary to vlog my whole life as I've gone through all of these changes, but it's invaluable because I've created so many true relationships. I've acquired so many clients that have turned into lifelong friends and built not just a business, but sort of this empire and this community that I feel a part of. I don't feel like I'm the dictator of it. I feel like I'm one of everybody else, and we're all sort of like this pyramid built up.
Oh my gosh, I love it. And we're so grateful as well to have you at Impact School helping clients build their own empires, which is, I just love it. Because what you said just then, I mean, like as you're saying all of it, I'm like, yeah, it's so cool. But that's exactly how we became friends. You know, you were a client of mine. How, it's just crazy. And I think like, oh my God, it's just, it's wild. And one thing that I will say for people who are listening to this right now, because I know like even me listening to this, I'm like, cool, let's grab my camera. Oh, I got it right here. Let's go get some vlogs done, you know? But I think it's important to realize that when you're starting out, because Emily, you're like me, right? You started through making content. When you're starting out, if you want to build a business, if you want to build your income, if you want to go from working in your job to actually making this a business, you don't need to be doing vlogs, right? You don't need to be doing all of this social media content. Ultimately, when you're starting out, it comes down to posting valuable content. So I like for people to post those videos where it has like your face, then it has the headline and the subtitles. Those videos and pieces of content that position you as an expert to start out, to make your first few thousand dollars per month and to allow yourself that freedom to not have to work your full-time job, that is probably going to be the best place for you to start, okay? And while doing that, you can build the community like Emily's talking about through getting those people either into a Facebook group or just into a Messenger conversation. Because I want to talk about the people who are brand new. Because some people are going to think, yeah, but Emily, this is cool. You have a huge following. You got 4 million views. Or even when you started your Facebook group, maybe you had like 1 million views. But I don't have a YouTube channel right now. I don't have like 100 followers on IG, or maybe they have like 1,000 or 2,000 or even 20,000, but probably they're not going to fill a group. So it's like to really get that foundational layer of their community built, That's my opinion, what they should do to get started. But I would love to hear your input and your insight of what you think is best to go first.
Yeah, so first, when you were saying that, I thought of how on my application to work with me, one of the questions is, how long have you been following me for? And I mean, if I put it on a graph right there with how long they've been following me and the likelihood that they're going to end up joining the program, it's a direct correlation. If you don't feel comfortable with somebody, you don't feel comfortable forking over a lot of money to them. So how can you build that connection if you don't have that many followers? I follow a ton of Instagram accounts that have less than 1,000 followers, and I'm obsessed with them. I'm obsessed with their content, because I'll tell you what it is, as of today's date, you know, May 2020, what it is consistently posting on Instagram stories every single day. And those people that you open up their Instagram story, in the dashes at the top are so small that they're like dots. And it's not only Instagram stories of value, but it's Instagram stories interaction. And when you put the polls and you put the questions and those types of things, people are going to interact with your content. They're going to interact with you every day. And that's an opportunity for you to interact with them every day. You'll invite them to interact with you. And some people, like, literally they'll have like 400 followers, but they're posting about something that I need to learn about at this moment in time. It's preventing running injuries. And so these people that are highly intelligent with under 1,000 followers, they're posting every day. You bet your bottom dollar I'm interacting with them, because that's important to me. Preventing an injury is important to me. So what's important to your ideal client, and give them that value every day through Instagram story and invite them to interact with you.
Totally. I love it. And that means that it's time for us to make some more in-depth content for the Impact School clients on this. I've already got some ideas. I've been taking some notes over the past few weeks, actually, and I've been waiting until I feel like I have enough information to actually share it with people. But yeah, I mean, for sure. And I think people always think I need swipe up. Actually, through all my tests and my analysis that we've been doing over these past few months, actually, I have actually noticed that the best results come when you encourage people to DM you, because then you can do that whole permission-based relationship marketing, right? You've got their permission to actually go ahead and DM them, because they have DM'd you first, right? They've taken that action. Then you can speak to them in the DMs through revealing their problems and so on and so forth. Obviously, our clients have the money-making messaging method, right? And then from there, you get them on a call. And exactly as you're saying, I think Instagram stories, I think engaging with people on your posts, encouraging them to comment and then replying to their comments. I mean, I'm seeing on LinkedIn that my posts, when someone comments on my post and then I reply back to them saying that I've just sent them a message, oh my goodness me, they are so engaged, because they're like, whoa, Lauren, I wasn't expecting you to message me. And that is what people absolutely love. And so, exactly, it's a case of realizing that you have a solution to people's problems. And a lot of people don't have that right now who are listening to this, okay? And I'm just gonna be honest with you. If you're posting generic content that is, oh, this is how you get success, what does that even mean? I mean, success is different to everyone. If you're posting content about, oh, this is a home workout, what is the point in that? Like, no one cares, because it's, yeah, it might make someone sweat for a minute, but what's the goal? Some people, just as Emily said, need to have their running injury solved. And so that person that you were just talking about, one of those running injury people, now when you, let's say, get an injury, what's going to happen is you're going to think, oh my gosh, I need to go to Paul's Instagram and watch his stories and send him a message to get him to help me. This literally happened to me the other week, okay? I've had stomach issues pretty much my whole life. I was having a real bad flare up, like super problematic. And I was like, okay, I know exactly who I need to message. Message my friend Megan, because I've known her for ages. She invited me to her, like, her book launch and everything. And she provided me with a solution at that point. You best believe that when I'm spending money to have this problem solved, if I need to in the future, or even right now, she has physical products. I've bought them. It's food. And she has these gut thingies and whatever. I've paid money to her because I know that she's good, because she has Mindshare. Okay. So Mindshare is essentially the portion of, basically, when someone thinks about the problem that you solve, how much of it comes to you. Okay. So when I think, okay, I really want to lose fat, if people have been following Emily and they like her content, they're going to think of her, right? And so that's what it comes down to. And so that's what that content's all about. So Emily, just real quick, do you feel that your people get annoyed by you posting sort of content about your program?
Here's the thing. I don't post content about my program. I post the transformations from my clients. I'm not posting about the program. I'm posting about my clients and making the clients the hero. People love a before and after, and people love a hero story, and people don't see themselves in a program. They see themselves in another human being. And so instead of talking about my program's features, oh, I have this, I have a registered dietitian, I have a therapist, you get all these cool features. People don't care about that. Just like you say, Lauren, when you're taking a trip to Hawaii, you don't care about the plane. You care about Hawaii. You care about the transformation. And that's why, you know, I said in my Facebook group every Sunday, I'm not posting feature of the Slim on Starch program Sunday. No, it's a honey spotlight. It's focusing on the transformations that my clients have had. So if you're new and you don't have many transformations yet, hopefully you've given this transformation to yourself. Because either you've given it to yourself or you've given it to somebody else so that you're able to know how to take people along this path and highlight that, highlight the before and after so that people can see the transformation that you've made. When I went to that, I'm literally thinking about, it's called Running Pain Free. That's the name of the Instagram. That they don't have a lot of followers, but one of my clients recommended it to me and I went, and it didn't have a huge following, but you know what they had? They had an entire page of transformations of people that they've helped, and they had a podcast about running with sciatica. I could not find any information on running with sciatica because it's so unique. But once I found that that platform had a post about running with sciatic pain, I was obsessed because it was so niched. It was exactly what I needed. So if you think that, you know, you want to make your stuff general so that you apply to everybody, when you speak to everybody, you speak to nobody. But when you speak to the person who's running with sciatica, I'm like, here's a blank check, solve my problem for me.
I love it. And I mean, real quick though, Emily, I mean, you said when you're flying to Hawaii, you don't care about the plane, but let's be real. I mean, if you're flying first, you care about that plane.
When I went to Australia, I sat, this is how far I've come. I sat down in my seat and I plugged in my headphone jack, and on my 14-hour flight to Melbourne, my headphone jack was broken. So I have suffered, but I didn't care because I was going to Australia.
Okay, fine. Well, each their. No, I'm zero. I'm just kidding. But it's a
no it's posh, a Lauren, English girl.
Well, look, it hasn't always been this way, but that's the cool thing. It's like, you know, I remember. Oh, let's not even. But anyway, some journeys from UK to the US have been very painful in my time. But anyways, what you said is so true, though. Like, for real. And then the cool thing is, you know, as your business scales, then you can be more broad. You can start to enjoy the plane, right? So for example, like, yeah, when I started out, you know, pretty much all my clients were female fitness coaches, pretty much actually all influencers. And then as I scale now, it's like, whoa, we have coaches. I can even think of a guy who, right now, who's in our program, and he's a therapist, right? He was an in-person therapist. Now he's taking it online. It's like totally different. But sorry, what were you about to say?
Oh, I was going to say, if you guys want a little taste of Lauren in her like eating challenge videos, is that the real Lauren? We're sitting in your hotel room in New York City, and you're flying back to the UK, and you're like, okay, how many should I take the bus at this time or this time? And I'm like, oh, you have time. You don't have to go that early. You don't have to sit at the airport that early. And you're like, yeah, but the dessert bar in the American Airlines lounge, have you seen it? And you're going at like 10 a.m.
I actually made some awesome connections in that lounge. And one of them, well, you know, we're currently recording this during the coronavirus period, but one of them is actually a director of a massive events company, and we're still in contact, and he's been consuming all my content and is interested in having me speak at some of his huge corporate events. So,
well, you know what? You showed me, Lauren.
I absolutely love it. But yeah, for sure. So, I mean, everything that you've said has been so interesting, because we came on this podcast to talk about how to build an engaged audience on social media, because one of our clients inside of our Impact School program, the new Launchpad, Connor, he asked how Emily had built such an engaged audience. So we decided to pop on here and record this. But isn't it crazy how we've come on to talk about how to build a huge engaged audience, and we've really been speaking about how to get microscopic in focus on your specific ideal client? The riches in the niches, baby.
It is. I mean, you know when you see a meme and you're like, oh my God, I thought I was the only one that thought that way. And then it's a viral meme with like 6 million likes on it. It just goes to show that when you identify those tiny little things, you realize that your niche isn't so niche after all. And a lot of people really have that issue.
Totally. I love it. Cool. So that's basically it. And then it's obviously comes down to posting consistently. And yeah, when you're getting started, realize that posting useful content consistently. I mean, I've been saying this for years. People still don't tend to do it, but I just think they get overwhelmed with trying to be an influencer and trying to post this general content. And then they sit at their phone or their laptop like, I don't know what to post because everyone's been posting such similar stuff. They're like, well, if I post that, it's just going to be, you know, it's just going to get flooded over by everyone else's content. But ultimately, just post your content and then don't expect people just to come, right? When you're starting out, you have to reach out to people. I mean, Instagram every day allows you to reach out to 30 people without getting banned. So I like kind of say do 10 in the morning, 10 in the afternoon, 10 in the evening. You need to be reaching out to these people. That is how you can grow your audience organically. That's Instagram. LinkedIn, you can do 100 a day. Again, we use a software, so if you're interested in learning more about that, then definitely get on a call with us. I'll leave the link in the show notes. And then from there, you know, Facebook and stuff, I believe you can do around 20 a day on Facebook. And it just comes down to building these relationships and getting in front of people. But don't just expect them to come. Don't expect the community to happen on its own. It comes down to you to being proactive. So Emily, is there anything else that you'd like to add there?
Yeah, just stop making excuses about not having enough time. Like, honey, I used to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I would do 2 hours of work, run for an hour, go to school, get home at 5 o'clock, get on my call with Lauren, and then go to bed at like 10 p.m. and do work until then. It comes down to how badly you want it, and I'm not taking any excuses. So. Yeah.
I love it. Amazing. That's awesome. And then when it comes to scaling your community, everything that Emily said, it comes to that down to that group environment. Facebook is currently in the process of shifting to be more favorable to groups as well. So anyone who has a group right now, that's great. But again, people always want to run before they can walk. If you do that, you're going to get sciatica and you won't even be able to run at all. So what you need to do is get the groundwork done first, then move on to scaling. If right now, and I don't know how clearly I need to say this, Emily, right? If right now, you're not already making, let's just say, $5,000 a month from your online business, and you don't have a good following on social media, if you're trying to build a huge Facebook group, and if you're trying to build a complex funnel, and if you're trying to build a website, and if you're trying, like all these things, if you're trying to do that, and you don't even have the foundations nailed, guess what? You are not going to win. So with that said, if you don't already have those foundations nailed, make sure to go to impactschoolmba.com, put your name on the list, sign up. We have an awesome program. We're giving it away 100% free. I mean, this program should have some serious dollar bills attached to it, but you can get it for free by going to impactschoolmba.com. With that said, once you've signed up, go follow Emily on social media, Healthy Emmy on IG. That's pretty much your main focus. If they want to get in the Facebook group, how do they need to get into that?
Just go ahead and guys, listen to this. Take this piece of advice. Send me a DM saying Facebook group. What did I just do? I invited you into my DM so that we could build a relationship. If I just told you the name of the Facebook group,
It's true.
Send me a DM saying Facebook group.
And then you can also see who the funnel hackers are. Because if they're not a healthy honey, they're not getting the secrets. But they need to join Impact School's program to get them. So there we go. Anyway, with that said, Emily, that was awesome. Thank you so much. I love you. I'm grateful for you. And we'll see you in our team.
Ditto. Bye, guys.